we make
I'm
sure.
I'm guessing you know. Psych. I want to start off this morning with a prayer for Genevieve. As mothers, but women specifically, we can totally appreciate what she's going through. And I don't have an update, but it sounds like maybe she has a viral meningitis, and they're going to be giving her IVs and medication. But Rachel has COVID, or tail end of COVID, and she probably can't be with Genevieve, so she's been staying home with the kids, and Andrew's been at the hospital with Genevieve. So that's the update I had last night. There might be more, but
I heard it was the back. Did you hear viral?
Oh, bacterial. Sorry.
It's the worst kind.
Oh, it's that's Daniel the worst
had
one.
Viral and bacterial ones very serious.
Okay, so I don't know how she got it. I don't know if they've figured that out, but she's a sick little girl. So let's take a minute and pray for her, and yeah. Dear Lord and God Most High, we thank you for this day that we can not only come together to hear a portion of your Lord, but that we can use this time together and pray for the needs of our brothers and sisters. And we ask a special prayer, Lord, right now that you please be with the entire Gass family, that you be with Genevieve, and that you strengthen her body, Lord, and give her body what it needs to be able to fight off this really, really bad infection that she has, and that she can be back to her little Genevieve self. We ask the Lord that you please be with the doctors that can diagnose her and that can help her get well and give her the right medications and give them the frame of mind to be able to work on her, Lord. We ask that you please also be with Rachel and Andrew, as they're not only separated during this time, when I'm sure that they would really like to be going through this together, but that you be with Andrew and that he can be a comfort to Genevieve, and that you be with Rachel and that you see her through COVID, and that you help give her some peace, Lord. And thank goodness for technology, that there's FaceTime and things like that, to where she can have a little bit more connection during this time. We also ask that you give the other kids a peace, Lord, as their oldest sibling is not with them, and she's a huge part of their family. We ask that you help us to continue diligently in our prayers towards this family, and to heal Genevieve and bring her back, and to reach out and see what we can do to help them, whether it's cards or meals or just a note or a text of encouragement, Lord. We thank you again that we have this time. We really enjoy the summer times, Lord, where we can just be as women and just talk about things that pertain to the spiritual growth and maturity of women. Please be with each of us as we go our separate ways, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I can't believe that we're already like more than halfway through our classes. We have like four more weeks or so, and I'm kind of sad to see it end, because I think most of us have already expressed that we really, really enjoy this time together, and that it's really valued. And so I appreciate the women that have already done the classes, and I'm looking forward to the ones that are still to come. Just a plug for not today's lesson, but the ones previously, if you want to go back, which I really encourage you, if you haven't been here or heard all of them, go back and listen to them. Because Lily and I were talking this morning about how everyone's done such a great job. Like, the lesson that you've studied may not be necessarily the approach that the person has taken. And so they give their own spin on it and use different verses and things like that. So it's really fun to hear from that person's perspective on how they did the lesson. So they're right on our website, and you can listen to every single one of them. So last week, Andrew's lesson was online, since he was still testing positive for COVID. And that's also online if you guys want to listen to it. But it was a really good segue, because you talked about how fire can be negative in the sense of hell, but also be positive in the sense of growth and how fire purifies and leaves all those ugly things behind, and how it what we're left with is clean and beautiful and just pure, and we can take that with us on our journey as we help each other grow and mature, and as we help each other attain our goal of heaven. The last 5 minutes or so he spent on the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, and he used those as those are the things that we're going to take in our tool bag, if you will, all those things, gentleness and love and faith and purity with us on our journey. So if you have a chance, you can also read that. And Paula's lesson last week was a really good segue as well. It was on self-discipline. And you can also translate self-discipline into any of the lessons that we've had, and also the one today. But we're not doing any origami today. I know you guys are really sad. But I have my sheet from last week, and I haven't touched it all week, except this morning. And it was a gold sheet that we did for you who weren't here. It's something that Paula does in her high school classes. And when we were doing it, I really struggled with this. And I'm very task-oriented, but I am not goal-oriented. And when Paula was coming back through the aisle, she could totally tell. She was like, oh, yeah, Lisa's not good at this. She's a teacher. She knows. And she was getting closer. I'm like, oh, hurry, right. I got to have my 10 things. And
that's a teacher trick right there.
Yeah, it was very stressful for me. Like, I know what I'm doing this week. I'm going to work. And I have my daily things I do, but 5-year, 10-year planning, very stressful for me. Wyatt is really good at it. He's helped me and pushed me. And every Sunday, we typically sit down and we're like, okay, what's on our calendar for this week? So we can kind of be a little more organized. And at first, I was like really resistant to it. But there are times when I actually bring it up. I'm like, okay, let's do our calendar so we can get out of the way and move on. So anyways... if you weren't here, again, you can go back and listen to that one on self-discipline. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, this is kind of where we're going to start. And if you don't want to, then you can just listen as well. So the background of the church at 1 Corinthians is that it was established by Paul on one of his missionary journeys. And... it's only been established for like about 3 to 5 years, and they were having some pretty serious problems. Does anyone know off the top of their head the problems that they were having? No? They were having problems with immorality. They were having problems with people taking each other's wives. They were having problems with idolatry. They were having problems with taking the Lord's Supper correctly and waiting on each other. Let's see some of the other things. I think those were the basic things. But we might look at that and go, wow, they were having some really serious issues. But I think we can put all churches and Johnson Avenue in that category. We've had issues in the past. We're having problems right now. We're going to have issues in the future. And the reason that is because we're people. We're human. We make mistakes. But we're doing the best we can. So I wanted to read that verse. I wrote it up on the board, and if you also reference your handout, can anyone see it okay? It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And I appreciated that the author started of our curriculum, I should say, with this verse, because I think it ties directly into chapter 13. But the part that I did some homework on is the wordings. I looked at 4 different versions, and it says it almost the same, just slightly different, but I went back to the Greek because I just felt like that there was more. So you can take out your pencils or highlighters if you want to do some work on this verse, but the ones that are underlined, the phrases up there, covet earnestly, in the Hebrew, it's actually the, or Greek, excuse me, it's actually the word, it's like Z-E-L-O-S, and it's actually where we get our English word zealous. And it means zealous in the pursuit of good. And I just really liked the way that that was said. Zealous in the pursuit of good, if you are writing down. And best gifts. When I think of that term, I don't think of what the writer had in mind in the Greek, which means more serviceable and more useful. More serviceable and more useful. And then excellent way. Oh, I did the wrong word. That's okay. Excellent way means superior and beyond measure. Superior and beyond measure. So that really, for me, helped me to understand this verse better. And as we go into chapter 13, better. And the gifts that he ends up talking about in chapter 13 are what?
Love.
What?
Love.
Love, faith, and hope. I think everyone is familiar with this text. I hope I can bring a different spin on it because I don't want you guys to tune out or... We've studied this passage so many times. We're going to try to do it in a little bit of a different way. So if you reference your handout again, I put the definitions for faith, hope, and love on there. So I'm going to just quickly read them. Faith, a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. And I really liked how that was said, because it's not only respecting my relationship to God and divine things, but it's respecting everyone else's relationship to God and divine things. And then hope, joyful, confident expectation of eternal salvation. And again, I really liked how that was worded, because it doesn't say happiness, it uses the word joyful. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. And then the last word, love. And then the Greek word that is used here is actually the word agape, sacrificial and unconditional love. It's the same type of love that Jesus showed us, especially when he died on the cross for every single one of us. So those are the words that he emphasizes in chapter 13. He talks about this at the very end, but the things that, which of those things are going to be going away after Jesus comes back?
Faith and hope.
Faith and hope, yeah. We're not going to need it anymore, because they're going to be established, and they're going to be, we won't have a need for them. The only one that's going to continue beyond is love, and we'll be able to experience only that emotion in heaven when Jesus comes. And that's really hard for me to even wrap my head around. I put a couple self-reflection questions on there just for you guys to do it on your own if you want to go through the lesson again this week. I did that a few times on here. So they're not necessarily things that we're going to go over, but if you want to make a comment, please do. I really don't want to do all the talking. Okay, so after talking about the definitions, I think that these three things are the foundations for our Christian life. I think that the fruits of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:22 are also important, but I think that they stem from faith, love, and hope. I don't think you can have those without having faith, love, and hope, and especially love. Do you guys agree with that, or do you guys, if you do, why? If you don't, why not? Everyone is really quiet today. Grace!
You have to have faith, hope, and love in order to have fruit, because if you don't have those basic things, you wouldn't want to desire to have and aspire to any of those. Mm-hmm. It's a stepping stone.
Yeah, I agree. Stepping stone, that's a good word. Anyone else have a comment or anything? Okay, so... I'm sorry, Meredith.
You were wanting us to talk.
I was. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to come up here, that's fine.
We've talked about it in our class before, but
yes.
I love that idea of like a good tree bears good fruit.
Yep.
And so like if your fruits of the spirit, and it's something like I try to talk about with my kids and think about for myself too, like am I bearing good fruit? Like I'm not going to walk up to a bad tree and expect it to have a piece of good fruit on it one day. So you should expect that a good tree will bear good fruit. So if the fruits of the spirit are the fruits on my tree, I kind of think of love as like the trunk, like that's got to be the foundation, right? Like
yeah.
Everything has to come from that because it's really a verb. It's not like when we say I love you, it's like this is my action, this is my motivation.
Yeah, I love word pictures, thank you. And yes, faith, love, and hope can be used as nouns, but they're also verbs. So thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, we're going to talk about another word picture in a little bit that's going to go with that as well. Jolene.
Everybody in the world has faith, hope, and love in something.
Yep.
Which I'm reading a book right now that's really interesting, written by a physicist who grew up in the barrios of L.A.,
wow.
I never think he would be what he is today. And he became a Christian through physics, which is really interesting. And
mm-hmm.
the book is called Believing is Seeing, Not Seeing is Believing. And he talks about how everyone in faith has a choice. And you can have an atheist has faith,
mm-hmm.
Buddhists have faith, they have hope for whatever it might be, and they may love that thing that is their faith, which could be a vacation home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting concept because if we don't make the right choice of the type of faith, which is spoken of here, then our faith is something else. And we can move in and out of that, like little waves.
Yep.
And I've just found this book really compelling, but also it's something that we all know and believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fascinating. Yeah, faith is definitely something that we can move in and out of, not only as like different things come in and out of our life, but aging, getting older. I mean, you guys probably, talking about me. As you look back on your life, whether it's 5, 10, you know, however many years ago, you can see that your faith and that even your love and your hope has changed in certain things. And yeah, it can be physical, it can be spiritual, it can be financial, it can be different facets of your life. And but yeah, the one we're trying to mature and grow and attain to is the spiritual aspect of faith. Anyone else? Yes, Kelly.
Along the lines of what Meredith was saying with that tree and the fruit on the tree,
mm-hmm.
I think about that all the time, how we're connected with Jesus, you know, on the vine and that kind of thing. But in order to have good fruit and a good tree, you have to prune it all the time. You're pruning and pruning and taking off the bad. And that's what we're commanded to do as well, is
mm-hmm.
setting aside, putting away the bad things that are in our lives so that we can be good fruit.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that as well. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to do, right? Something that could be very difficult for me is super easy for you, and vice versa. Danny.
Yeah, and kind of mixing everything is, even with age, you kind of think in your head, well, as I age, you're growing in like order, right? You're getting
yeah.
older, and you're growing, and you're maturing. But it's not like that. You're constantly, it's an ebb and flow
yeah.
of keeping yourself on track and being able to have that foundational, I put, you know, faith and hope. If love is the trunk, but you have to have your faith and hope that is also the things that are feeding the soil or being able to help it grow, because there's so many aspects in life that and seasons that you go through that kind of make you retract and then grow and then retract and grow, or may steer you off and you need to be able to come back. So it's definitely where you're putting your focus,
mm-hmm.
and then also just taking those good fruits and hoping that everything that you're putting into it is going to make good fruit.
Yeah.
From decisions. And it's not, age doesn't mean you have good fruit.
No. Because there's periods I can look at my life and I was like, yeah, I wasn't growing as much as I should have, or I was actually like sliding backwards, or I was talking to someone recently and she has an infant and she still wants to, you know, bring food to people and like do all this stuff and, you know, kind of be more balanced. And I'm like, but what you're doing right now is raising a child. And sometimes you have to put that, you know, like you were talking about, shifting your focus, that has to be back, and your child has to be, you know, your priority, because you want that child to, you know, go to heaven and put them on the right path to bear fruit as well.
Yeah. My mom yesterday told me straight up, no, you will not. You need to stop.
Yeah.
Like, she was, like, had to put me back in my place, because I did the whole, can I bring Rachel a meal? Can I do that? I need to help them. And
right.
How am I going to help them?
Yes.
What am I going to do next? And she's like, you need to help yourself right now with the kids. You are, you know, Billy's gone for the weekend. We got some not so great news. Like, there's different things going on in your own life that you need to figure out.
Yep.
And you need to, like, make sure your unit is strong, good foundation, so then you can help other people. Because if it's not, then...
Yep. And I think at the end, hopefully, we'll be able to, that's kind of where I'm going to tie it in at the end, come full circle, because that's where we can help each other. And that's where we can, you know, sometimes it's not easy to say, hey, you need to slow down, or sometimes the person doesn't listen, and they're just going to eventually hit a brick wall, and you have to watch that happen.
So fruit doesn't happen independently, right? You have to have those good roots. So I think roots are the important part of that tree. And coming together and studying and surrounding yourself with people who also have good fruit is very important, because when one tree dies, it can take out many other trees around it. So it is really important to where your roots are going. You have to still monitor those and make sure your foundation is still strong and still Bible, you know, centered. And that's why it's on us to make sure that who's preaching to us is preaching the Bible. That's our responsibility, right? You can't put it on to somebody else. And that's why I think it's really important to always monitor what your roots are picking up, because they can be picking up some toxic things and bringing them right up, and then your fruit is gone, or it's diminishing, or it doesn't have the power because you're not tapped in anymore.
Yeah, it's such a good word picture to use, because you can just go so many places with it. You know, you think about the roots and they're underneath the ground. So you're the only person that can see those. No one else can see those. They can only see the physical evidence of the tree, the branches, the leaves, the fruit, whatever. So
just because it looks good doesn't mean it tastes good.
Exactly. I would tell my kids
excellent.
That with water all the time. Yeah. Just because water looks clean doesn't mean it is clean. And people think, oh, dirty water, it just has a look to it. No, there is a reason why they say sheep in wolves' clothing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are things that you can only see with a magnifying glass or whatever. Oh, good comments. You guys are like pretty much preaching my lesson for me. So I came up with five things that, and I put them on your handout, that I was thinking that it's a little bit different than the book. I didn't really like the lesson that the book did, but five things that I think that if you're, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are today, right this moment, that you can start to do now to grow, and what that looks like. And I have two on the front, three on the back, and I just paraphrased on the front, but I wanted to talk about each one and share some things that you think of, and then I have a few verses that go with it as well. If you guys have verses as well that you can think of. So I think that the first one is the most important and foundational, and I think it's a fact or that we must have a desire to grow. If you don't have a desire to grow, then these other four things don't even matter. And so I think that we must have a desire to grow, not only just spiritually maturing and growing, but in faith, love, and hope, because those are the foundational things. So does anyone have any verses to go with that, or comments to go with that first one? Maybe you disagree with me, which is fine. These are just, like I said, mine that I came up with. Well, I put, left some room, hopefully, to write. There's a couple of verses that I found, if you guys want to write them down. The first one is 1 Peter 2:2. It says, the one that we know familiar with, desire for the pure milk of the word so that we can grow thereby. I think we all know that one. The second one is Psalm 73:25. This one was new to me, and I really, really liked how it was worded. It says, none upon earth that I desire besides you, capital Y, meaning Jesus. There's none on earth that I desire besides you. I also found Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous is only good. The desire of the righteous is only good. And then Proverbs 13:2, when desire comes, it is a tree of life, like what we've been talking about. Because that's where it starts, right? It starts with desire, and then everything else grows from there. So I'll put these four down if you guys, like I said, want to look at them later, then you guys can. Okay, the second one that I thought was important in making these five things is know that growth takes time and is work. And that's true with anything, right? It's true with our jobs. It's true with our kids. It's true with our spouses. It's true with our friendships. It's true with our marriage. Anything that is worth having takes time and is work. Does anyone have any comments on that?
Desire to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1:5-10.
Okay.
And then Ephesians chapter 4, 15-16. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read Ephesians.
No, not at all. Go for it.
So Ephesians 4:15. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Mm-hmm. That's another really good analogy that's used several times in the New Testament, is our body and each of us being a part of that body, and how we can function without a certain part, but we're not at our utmost. We're not at our best. We're not at our more excellent way.
And Christ is our head.
And Christ is our head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that has everything to do with coming together as a body.
Yep.
Sometimes we get very lax about that concept, but I look at the body as, Danny, if you can't get that meal, Lily will.
Mm-hmm.
I won't. Lily will. But I mean, there's always someone there. There's that backup. And if you don't have congregational care and input and communication, this gets lost.
Yeah.
And I know myself, I go to bed at night and I'm really full of desire of all the things I'm going to get done the next day, and then I get up and, you know, the toilet won't flush, I have a migraine,
yeah,
and I don't have anyone left to complain to, you know, because, and I find myself saying, Dillard, where are you when I need you?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things that change as you age, you become a widow, and what you plan and think you're going to do and how you're going to feel. And so if you don't have the body that you know that you can fall back into, we lose ourselves.
Yeah.
And Christianity worldwide is losing itself because of a whole lot of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I just think our gathering is just so important.
I totally agree. When I go on, when I go out of town or whatever, if I'm gone for the weekend and I'm not here and I'm only missing one service, I feel like I've missed an entire year. Like, what's going on? What happened when I was gone? Like, it's the weirdest thing. So I agree. And I hated the fact of when we were doing like online services, but you know, you also do what you have to do and you work around whatever the, you know, the thing is for that time. Thank you, Grace, for adding those verses. Under time and work, we know that things take time, and we know that things take work. So the ones that I have put on the board are Luke 8:15. It says, bear fruit with patience. And if you think about things in your life, raising kids, that's huge. Bear fruit with patience. Proverbs 10:16, the labor of the righteous leads to life. The labor of the righteous leads to life. And then Ecclesiastes 1:8, if you've never had a chance to like read that book fully, it's not very long. I think there's 12, 13 chapters. It says in Ecclesiastes 1:8, all things are full of labor. And we know that that's right. All things. Anyone else have any more comments about that it takes time and work to be able to grow? No?
Oh, I did three, four, five, I'm back here.
Okay, the third one that I thought, again, for me, and Kelly, I think already brought this up, is that I put, we must be willing to make changes, but we need to lay aside the things that aren't aiding us, helping us, are toxic, anything that is going against our growth. So the couple of verses that I came up with is 2 Peter 1:8. Looking at the wrong one. Galatians 5:19-21. And 2 Timothy 3:1-7. So we must be willing to make changes. And I didn't put right which one it was. It's either 2 Peter 2:1. It says, again, a scripture we're familiar with, lay aside the things that are against the will of God. Lay aside the things that are against the will of God. Galatians 5:19-21, it talks a lot about, it specifically lists works of the flesh, and it says that we will not inherit the everlasting life. And then 2 Timothy 3:1-7 says that people are lovers of themselves. And we're talking about a wolf in sheep's clothing, having a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but they're not godly, they're not righteous. And sometimes trying to make that distinction is really, really hard. Another one that I just thought of just now, I don't know why I didn't write it down, that I would put maybe in this category under number three is James 4:17, and it basically says that... This is why I write it because I just lost it. Something about if you know to do good and you don't, you're sinning. And probably because I don't remember it, it's because I don't want to, because it means I have to do something. Oh, yes, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's a hard one for me to swallow a lot of times.
In Romans 6:12, let not sin right therefore reign in your mortal body to make it obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace.
That's a good one, thank you. Another couple set of really good word pictures. Sorry, I'm going to stay off of this. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Lily.
I think of Matthew 6:24. John, uh-huh. Serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise mm-hmm. the other.
Yeah. We can't be in both worlds. I mean, we can physically, and we can make it look good, but God knows our hearts. Talking again about those roots that no one can see except yourself and God. Can't be in both worlds. The fourth one I came up with is that we must use the word as our food for growth. So 1 Peter 2:2. Matt 4:4. And Matthew 5:6. And a lot of these can be interchangeable and put in different categories. And there's probably a ton more that I missed. These are just the ones that kind of popped out to me. It says, desire the pure milk of the word so that we can grow. So again, we use this in the first one under desire. Matthew 4:4. This is when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And he told Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then Matthew 5:6, this is the Sermon on the Mount, part of it. He says that we need to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Any other comments or verses about using the word? Lily.
I think about the, your dad has mentioned it several times. I really like that verse. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119:17.
Something like that. Yep. That's his favorite one. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever seen him, he, in his shirt pocket, he carries, sometimes you see little index cards sticking out, and one of them has that verse on it. Anything else? No? Okay. Number five, I put, which is that we must stay spiritually fit, right? We need to stay spiritually fit, and there's certain things that we need to do that. Going back to Paula's lesson last week on self-discipline, this is something that you don't just attain and you're there. This is something that we have to be working on every single day for our plan of heaven. So the passages that I came up with are 1 Timothy 4:7 and Hebrews 5:14. 1 Timothy 4:7 says that we need to exercise ourselves towards godliness. And then Hebrews 5:14 says that we have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. And I like how that is worded, because sometimes the lines can get a little bit blurred. So we need to stay spiritually fit. We need to be practicing. We need to be exercising daily to be able to mature in faith, hope, and love. Anything else under number five? Julie.
I don't have any verses, but I think this has really hit me. I've always known that exercise is what I should do, and I don't enjoy making myself do it. I enjoy the after effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always known that, you know, for running or whatever it is you do. I'm starting to, starting to apply that to everything. I think I've done it, but I've not consciously thought of it. There are things I don't want to do in the church. There are things, you know, service and teaching and well, you know, things I don't want to do, but I feel so much better after I do them. And when I'm totally committed, I gotta admit, VBS rolls around, I'm not excited.
Yep.
In fact, don't talk to me about VBS until we're like really close, because I know I'm gonna do it. And I mean, even up to getting registration, up until that weekend, I am just, my heart is not in it. I'm not really feeling it. I know I'm just doing it because it needs to be done.
Yep.
Who else is gonna do it? Who else am I gonna throw that on? You know, I can't do that. But by the end of Monday, I'm excited. It's like, this is great. I'm so glad I have this opportunity. But if we listen to those emotions that we have before we start the work, we won't do it.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because I need teachers for first through sixth grade. Need them desperately. We have had some people that have been teaching for several years now through COVID, and they've kept doing it. And I've had some people that say, no, I'm not teaching. We need it. I know it's hard work. I know it's preparation.
Yep.
This church needs a lot of work.
Yep.
Sometimes it feels like we're not growing as a congregation. That's on all of us. It's not, you know, it's on somebody who thinks, oh, we should do that. Do that. Help us. Let's get this going. So, but I have to say, I struggle with it too. It's not, I'm not just saying, well, do everything I do.
Yeah.
No. It's hard to become spiritually fit. It's hard to become any kind of fit. And we have to kind of just pull up our pants.
Pull up your go pants.
I'm going to do this. And I guarantee you, if you are serving with a heart that wants to help, you will be rewarded beyond your wildest expectations.
Yeah. No, I appreciate your honesty. And I think that's such a good example. I was feeling the same way. And I think that's growth. I think when you're struggling and you're pushing through it, I think that that's growth. So I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed about. I think a lot of us were feeling that. And like you said, when you start doing it, then you start feeling better. You're like, okay, it's going to be fine.
So one of the verses that I tend to go to, and it's hard for me to swallow because, you know, when you're trying to do something that is hard for you, it's never easy. In Hebrews 12:11-13,
mm-hmm.
where it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's a good one to put on there. Absolutely. Okay, so those are the five steps that I came up with for a plan. If anyone needs a plan, or I need this plan, so this is for me. We were talking about word pictures, and I want to kind of go into the last part, which I should have done first. It's probably the most important, but what our bodies need. They need sun, food, and water to grow every day. And we've been talking about the tree, and that is an excellent word picture as well. And I want to, our bodies are in constant motion because we have electrical impulses. Even when we're sleeping, our body's at working, right? They're archiving our pictures and what we did for the day, and it's resting and getting ready for the next day. So I want to say that we don't just stop, we actually start moving backwards. And if we use our bodies as an example, our bodies can go without food for 45 days before we actually die. And this is, of course, you know, whatever, male, female, age, like health, like a lot of stuff, but this is the average. But the interesting part is that even if we can go without food, we might look okay, we're still having major side effects on the inside. We have glucose issues, our brain swells, our body starts eating its muscle, we don't have energy, it affects our immune system, we have edema. Same with water. We can actually go without water for 14 days, but we have major side effects. We have our joints, because they're not being lubricated, our brain, blood pressure, it affects our electrolytes and our body temperature. And we can go without sun for 72 hours before we start having side effects, which is our serotonin levels, our vitamin D. It totally affects our sleep cycle, a hormone imbalance, and then of course our energy. So I just really want to put it out there that lack of growth doesn't mean that it's just stopping. We're actually moving backwards and we're deteriorating whether we can see it or not. I put a section on there for warning signs. And like we talked about the roots being under the surface, some of the warning signs are very obvious, but some are not. So what's some warning signs that you guys see for lack of growth? Yes?
Not spending time together.
Yeah, not spending time together. Yeah, and you guys feel free to write this down. Lily?
Apathy.
I had that on my list. Yes. What else? How about decrease in prayer life? How about not reading your Bible? What else? Not laying aside sinful things? What else? Just checking off the boxes. I'm just here. Just checking off the boxes. Not treating other people like we should. The world looks good. The world looks good. Not serving others. You're going to say that?
Yeah.
Not serving others.
Yeah.
Fruits of the Spirit, not practicing those. Fruits of the Spirit. Bad thoughts, not teaching or talking to anyone about Jesus. Not studying the like personal questions you have. Why am I here? Why is faith so important? Not looking for opportunities to serve. I mean, the list is endless, right? But my point is that some of these things are obvious and some of them aren't. So I put some self-reflection things on the back. And like I said, I really chose this lesson for me. So you guys can take away with it what you want. But do I have any obvious warning signs? Do I have things that, you know, are not obvious? Do I have things I need help with? Can I be honest with myself? Do I need help making a plan? Do I need help making changes? This is where I wanted to go with the first full circle thing. We're all here together. We're all at different points in our life. I think we love each other and care deeply for each other, but I think Julie's point is that our church is struggling. Our church is struggling because we're people. And I know for me that I can totally grow in these areas, and that you know, I need to be working hard for the Lord, not myself.
And I'm always really thankful for this time in the summer. I know that we all are, because I think we grow together as women. But
yep,
what I find is in the last couple of years, like different struggles that I've been facing with church or just with personal mm-hmm. issues, the more that I'm vulnerable, the more that I share. Kind of like Julie did, like my
yeah.
thoughts and my feelings with others, the more that I realize I'm not alone. And then I have support. I have
yep.
people that I know will pray, or people that will check in and be like, how's that going? And maybe it doesn't change, but just being able to rely, how we were talking about, on the body, to Jolene's point earlier, is like we have to be able to share and get to know one another in order to rely and depend on each other.
Yep. And the closer and more that we know about each other and spending time together, the more that we can do it, the easier that it becomes. And the more that you're going to want to do it. So anyways, thank you so much, ladies. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Excellent job.